What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Survivor Podcast. What's up, Survivor Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Survivor Finale Winners at War Jeff's Garage Podcast. I am coming to you live from the set of Tribal Council. I don't know if you can see it. It's pretty dark out here. We got Jason coming to you from the special Survivor set that was crafted. I think they shipped it to you.
I snuck into where the live reunion show was going to be while nobody was looking, and I'm just kind of set up shop in front of the sign. Yeah.
All right, and Scott, looks like you're at Denise's house.
I am. That's Denise right there. See that hair? See how bad that hair is right there? That's where I am. Me and Denise are chilling. Mama D, me and Mama D hanging out.
Let her have it.
Let her have it.
All right, we got people watching on the Facebooks, right? Am I right about that? So if you're watching on Facebook, say hi. And this is the Survivor Winners at War Season 40 finale episode for the Dome Patrol United podcast. Let's start. We all watched it. What'd you get out of it?
You shouldn't disrespect women.
Is that your takeaway from the whole thing?
That's what I got of it.
All right.
No.
It was a satisfying conclusion, you know. At least we didn't get Michelle winning it.
I was really hoping she would, just to piss Jeff off.
Thank God.
I mean, she didn't even get one vote, poor girl.
Yeah.
She didn't deserve a vote. She didn't deserve to be there.
I mean, she made it to the end, man. I mean,
anybody who makes it to the end of this season deserves to be there. I don't care what you say.
You know, she played twice and never got voted out.
But the only reason she got to where she got was because nobody even knew she was playing the game. And
She won a couple of immunity challenges.
She won a couple of immunity challenges that people wanted to kick her off, and she won immunity challenges.
I think they wanted to kick her off because they were tired of her annoying.
You were tired of her annoying.
Yeah.
You wanted to kick her off.
And that was your pick to win. I don't understand what's going on.
Right? At least she made final three.
I was to make sure she lost. All right. So jam-packed episode started out with Jeff in his garage saying there would not be a reunion show. I don't know why they brought all the contestants in on Zoom to show you them on Zoom to say that's it for them.
And then not go back. I know. That's really the huge drawback to what happened. The fact that we couldn't get any kind of live reunion, because to me, this probably would have been the best live reunion in a long time. And it just kind of sucks the way it worked out.
I agree. And then I wouldn't mind if they didn't come back and do a reunion whenever they're allowed to reconvene.
They probably won't. I mean,
it'll be past. It'll be past.
Yeah, they'll be moving on.
So maybe could they not have done a Zoom call and posted it to CBS.com and let you go watch it?
Yeah, right, like that's what I thought. Do something where it's not going to end up on live TV, but you know, record something and put it up there, right? Because I think that the fans would want to see it.
They could put it on their streaming channel.
And there's definitely an audience for it.
Thanks. We ought to reach out to a few of the contestants and ask them if they'll join us for a conversation. Then maybe we can talk to them about.
Give Michelle a call.
What was the edge really like? You know, was it posh beds? I mean, was it like feather pillows and
they can't tell you
turn down service, chocolate mints? You know, anyway. All right, so we started with the battle back. Natalie had her three advantages that she fought.
That she almost blew.
Tangled up in the rope.
Right, and that goes back to the issue of, you know, me not liking, you know, giving her so many advantages, because she was pretty bad in the challenge. You know, she really struggled. And the only reason she won is because she had said advantages.
Yeah, she would have totally lost that. Now, who would have won? Was it Tice?
Wendell was up there. You know, I thought Wendell, because he got his first ball in first. So I really thought he was going to sneak in and earn his way back in.
Rob was pretty close, too.
Yeah.
And
Rob, this whole season, Rob, it was kind of a letdown that, you know, we had all this build up for Rob to come back and play, and he really didn't do much. He had a little bit of a, you know, you got a little bit of his action from the first couple of episodes, but that was it. And then he was like, he wasn't even on the show.
I mean, they showed him a lot on Edge. But again, like he, you know, the first battle back, a few people had advantages, some didn't. And this one, you know, Natalie had the three. A couple of people had one advantage. It's just, I don't know. To me, it takes away a lot of the drama of a competition instead of it being a level playing field and everybody has a real chance to where, you know, it would have been an upset if Natalie didn't win the challenge.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of just brought the fire tokens into it and showed, I guess, why they were so important.
Yeah.
They were definitely more important on
Extinction Island. Definitely. Right.
So here's then, speaking of Extinction, do you like Extinction? Do you want it to come back? Or is now, all right, we've seen it twice and it's a failed experiment?
I don't necessarily say it's a failed experiment. I mean, this is my first experience with it, but I mean, I could do without it. You know, you have somebody like Natalie that comes back and almost wins. You know, who basically didn't play the game, just kind of sat there,
right,
on the beach. You know, although I was kind of pulling for her in a way too. It was kind of torn. Like, I was like, wouldn't this be some shit if somebody who's been got eliminated first came back and won the seasons of all seasons? I don't know. That would have been kind of.
But it wasn't that Chris or who was it at the first extension? That's what happened. He got
he voted out early, right?
But he got voted out midway.
I think he got voted out after like 6 or 7 days, so it was fairly early.
Oh, it was that long ago.
Maybe he was like the 7th person voted out. So, yeah, I guess more towards the middle.
But to have her do it on this season in particular, I think would have.
Yeah, but all right. But the point is, here's a player who didn't play most of the game, and all these other people grind it out and risk not winning because they've pissed off half the jury. So then you get somebody who not coasted, but you know what I mean, you know, without the strategy of voting people out, and they come back, and both times that person made it to the final three, and one of them won. The other one got it's not even close, got a second place. But, I mean, because all she had to do was she walked in with an immunity, and then she won the other immunities.
She found another idol, and then she found another one, and then she won. So look,
she they didn't even have a chance to vote her out. She got three in a row, ding, 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 and I mean, so it's not even like she played like that. And that's why I'm glad Tony won, because even if she had come back and didn't get voted out without having immunity, she has a case to win. But the fact is that she didn't even have to try.
Well, she did have to win. I mean, she did have to find the idol and have to win the challenge. So I give her credit for that. Like, look, I give her credit for sticking it out on the edge for over 30 days and getting back. I mean, she played, like she said, she played the hand was dealt and she did what she could. I mean, she really, you know, she didn't have to play the game like everybody else, but she fought. But I'm not a big fan of Extinction Island. I think when your torch gets snuffed, you're out. Yeah,
I'm just.
I almost think if you do it to have the challenge earlier to come back into the game.
Well, that would be one thing too. Right. Like the challenge should come back maybe like around Tyson, the merge where you could have some swing votes.
Yeah, when Tyson came in.
Yeah, or like you know you could the merge where you got swing votes coming left and right. That's the way to do it. But it's too late in the game to do that.
Or just you know don't allow a person to accumulate advantages because it really kind of screwed the people that were in the game and got voted out much later, like Jeremy and Nick and whoever. They didn't have a chance to earn any advantages at all. So, you know, they fought and had to strategize in the actual game itself for 30 days and then got voted out. And then they're instantly put at a huge disadvantage compared to all the people who got voted out a lot earlier.
Right. But one could argue that they don't deserve those advantages because they had longer time in the game. So you trade gameplay for advantages.
I mean, you could do two like that, but like, so you do the first one and then whoever wins gets back in and everybody who didn't win, they're gone. And then you start
a second batch
of players on Extinction Island.
Okay.
That way, nobody has too much of an advantage over anybody else.
Right.
That would make more sense to me. I could get behind, you know, if they did something like that, I could at least give it a chance to see if it would work. But as currently constructed, I'm definitely not a fan.
All right. Any chat in the viewers or anything like that I'm missing?
Not yet. I haven't seen anybody. Please feel free to chat, everybody who's watching.
All right. So,
shoot us questions, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, last week it wasn't populating on my studio. All right, so we go in through the battle. Okay, so she gets back in. We've talked about her ad nauseum.
Now, you know, they did, you know, after the challenge, they did kind of interview a lot of those people.
That took the place of the reunion.
Some of their farewell, you know, a couple people's farewell, some of the older players, kind of like their farewell to the game, their thank you to the game.
Yeah. You know. I hit the button. I hit the fast forward button during that part.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely. Oh, look, I want to see the game. I don't want to see all the sappy shit. I want to see the game. Like, I saw what they were doing. They're like, oh, we're going to have a retro. No.
It's the history of the game. You have to appreciate the history of the game.
I don't know. This is my first season since watching since like the second season.
That's why
season.
He didn't care.
That right? But, okay. Yes. But, that's all you had to say.
Jason, he doesn't even know these people.
Right.
But you know who they are. They don't mean anything to him.
But I still have an appreciation for the game, not the people. The game.
Well, if you were a real
people help
fan,
make the game.
You would understand that these people are icons in the game. That's like you saying you don't care about Drew Brees or you don't care about Walter Payton, or you don't care. You know, these are the best of the best. Earl Thomas, Joe Green.
You're comparing a sport to a reality show television.
Survivor's a sport.
There's athletic competition.
You literally just said the only thing you care about is the sport of it.
No, I cared about the game. I care more about the strategy of it than the challenges of it.
Oh, you don't care about the challenges? Yeah,
the challenges are part of the strategy.
So Monopoly is a game. Is that a sport?
Yes.
Oh, you're so full of shit.
You think I'm going to lose? No.
Right?
I'm not going to agree. I'm not going to lose this argument. No, I mean, no. All right. So you don't know these people, so you don't know.
And you say it's rigged. So you say it's rigged. So
yeah, just like the NFL.
Two
rigged sports.
Yay.
All right, Jason, you don't you liked the tributes and the things that they say about each other. I got emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that we see some of those people play again.
What I'm wondering could happen, because you know, I'm curious to see how much longer Survivor can go on. Ever. You know, like
how long can football go on?
I mean, at some point, Probst is going to be like, all right, I'm done. So you know, maybe they can make it to
season. He's going to die.
What I'm thinking. Let's say they try to make it to an even 50 seasons, you know. Let's say that's, you know, by the time they get down to it, their end goal.
That's five more years. Would
be to get to season 50, and then that one you can bring back. Maybe not some of the older players, because at that point, I mean, you know, they're going to be 50 years old.
Right, new All-Stars. Yeah.
Right. I mean, or do you make it all – do you do one final season with all winners again?
I don't think you do it 5 years from now. I think that's too soon. I think you do some sort of all-star action, maybe a runners up did they do a runner up second chances? I thought they did. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they had chances. Yeah. I don't think it was all runners up though. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they could do like finalists who didn't win. So either second or third place, maybe they could.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So either way, okay, so who would you put from here in there? I would put I put Lacina.
Well, if those are your parameters, if you're not taking any winners, then none of these people would make it back.
Oh.
If it was only second or third place.
Yeah. But, all right, so either way, I think Sarah Lacina deserves to play this game again. I think she deserves, and I'm not going because of the woke thing, Scott. I'm going because, honestly, other than Tony, she was the second best player in this game.
I mean, I thought whoever won the fire challenge was going to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really thought she deserved
to be in that final, if not for the fire challenge. More than Michelle.
Do you think if she was in the final three, that would have split votes and maybe... Like, let's say Michelle built it against Tony and Tony won. So then you have Tony, Sarah, and
Natalie.
Ooh. Do you think it would have split
votes?
Tony
still wins, but I think Sarah gets all of Natalie's votes.
Maybe not all. I think Natalie gets a couple votes. Sarah gets a few votes. I think Tony narrowly edges out Sarah.
Yeah. But I think Sarah deserves to, if not play this game, you know, sometimes they'll bring them back as coaches or they'll bring them back as some kind of an element. I think she deserves
Fire.
To be.
I did that one time.
Well, remember that year they brought him into, like, they had, like, what was his name? Jonathan and somebody else, and they were like, they were on the each tribe, but it was just, they were the only returners. That leader versus the other leader of a tribe, and they were like put in there as that.
I mean, you know, I guess we'll.
You do the whole blood versus water, where you bring former contestants with their loved ones. I mean, there's ways that they can bring people back without it being an all-star season. Mm-hmm. Or you just give, you know, people a chance to get back in the game and let them play. And sometimes they do that for ratings. Obviously,
you could bring them back as like, and I know y'all don't like the challenge, but they did have some time where they had these mercenaries come in. And they were former players, and they basically played in like an elimination game. And if they won, they got actually into the game.
Oh, okay. I like that. Big Brother did something like that, where they had them in as coaches who could not compete in the game. And then midway through, they were like, all right, we'll let them compete, and one of them gets in the game, or something like that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Either way, the tease for next season was.
Which even though
they couldn't show us, it sounded like Jeff alluded to maybe like teachers versus students. Did you catch that at the end, Jason?
I didn't catch it.
Yeah, he said something about, especially if you want to be like, are cool parents versus cool students or something? Because he said, apply for to be on the show, especially if you're 16, 17, or 18 years old.
I saw that. That's
yeah, I saw
weird.
That. I was like, going to mention that.
And he said, maybe we'll do some kind of cool parents versus cool students, is what he said. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a hint that next season or the season after might be a bit of a teenagers versus adults. Mm-hmm. Which would be cool. I'd actually like to see that and see how they play differently.
I'd almost rather see just all kids.
I don't want to see teenagers versus their parents. I want to see just random adults versus random teenagers.
I'd rather see just random teenagers. Like,
all?
Yeah, all teenagers.
Just Survivor. What was the name of that?
Hunger Games.
Well, no.
Let them kill each other.
Lord of the Flies. Survivor Lord of the Flies or something. Yeah. All right, what happened next?
So you had your first, again? You know, your
first tribal,
your first immunity challenge,
the woke moment.
Michelle won the challenge. Jeff said she didn't belong to be there. She was behind all the way, and then came back, won the puzzle, and got it. So now Natalie had her idol, and one of the biggest things was Tony thinking that Natalie probably had something, and it was crazy to see Ben and Sarah just say, nope, she doesn't, and just like that.
It's you know, I was watching it, and I was thinking at the time, it's almost like Tony's paranoia throughout the game played against him in that situation. Kind of like, almost like the Chicken Little scenario, like the whole game, he's like, the sky's falling, and never fell. And so by then, people are like, dude, you're just fucking losing it. You're crazy. Right.
But he was right.
He was dead
right
on.
Almost all the time. He was right because of the whole Spy Shack
spy nest.
He did know a lot of things that he wouldn't have known. So, but no one else knew, and they didn't know how he knew. So, yes, he comes across as paranoid. He's so convinced. I'm telling you, this is what's going on. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And he comes off as crazy.
You know, it was, and you know, we were watching it. And the second Sarah says that, I was like, "Oh man!" Like I thought Sarah was going to get a boot that, you know, for at that vote.
Get about what?
Huh?
You said she was going to get a boot.
I thought, yeah, I thought when she said when she said that,
I 100% guarantee Natalie. That's
right. You know who's in control? Sarah's in control. I'm like, no, you're.
Yeah, I was like, she's out. She's gone. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh shit, she's gone.
Right. But she didn't, and it's crazy. It's really crazy that the way it ended up, you know, if they would have just thrown their votes on Denise, she would have gone out. They would have saved their two idols. And at the end of the day, Denise went home anyway.
Yeah. And so Natalie flushed all those idols out that way.
We all surprised.
She did a good job of flushing out those idols.
We all surprised that Natalie and Michelle both voted for Denise, and they didn't try to.
They voted for Ben.
They did. They went for Ben first.
Well, they first. I'm talking about in the revote. They could have tried to go for a 2-2 tie, and instead they went along with the group. I mean, to me, they kind of needed to keep Denise in the game.
What would that have done for them?
I mean, they would have had a tiebreaker.
A fire challenge, right?
Is that what it
– Yeah, he explained it. If they would have had another tie, it would have been a fire challenge.
So you would have fire challenge between either
– And it would probably have been right then and there. They wouldn't have had a chance to practice or anything.
Right.
Right, right. So, I mean, they could have had a chance to keep – Denise around, let's say they boot either
Yeah, because I think if they would have found a way to get Sarah out at that point, Denise might have swung over to their side.
Right. Or even
Although it didn't matter. It still didn't matter.
Well,
it still didn't matter. Because
I mean, if
she won the next challenge and she chose who caught the fire against each other, I mean, it was pretty. Oh no, it was the Sarah Ben vote.
Right, right. So like, if they could have booted either Sarah or Tony, then you're looking at Michelle, Natalie, and Denise as the threesome with Ben and either Tony or Sarah as the minority, and they could have gone that way. It just didn't make any sense to me.
I think Denise still would have probably voted with Sarah and Tony.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. But there's no way to tell.
But either, yeah.
We don't have a reunion special for Jeff to ask the scenario.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I was sitting there watching the that first tribal, and, you know, I DVR'd it. I was watching it kind of late at night, watching it, and all of a sudden, like, I thought my channel switched to, like, CNN, and it was, like, all this left women's lib shit going on, and I was like, what all the right. hell is going on here? What is this?
Come on.
Right. It was a little... Yeah. It was a little much.
Well, first of all,
but it took like a good 20 minutes to
It wasn't 20 minutes.
Jeff had to do that as well because Scott, again, if you had watched previous seasons, the last couple of seasons, Survivor took a few shots to the bow over some woke issues, some the issues of sexual equality, gender equality.
Was it that race issue, not general equality?
It was both. They had issues on both of them. And Jeff himself didn't come out looking the best at the time. And I think in the show itself was accused by some of the fans for being tone deaf. So I really do believe that this was their opportunity to try and repair some of that and let the world know that just like the play. And I thought it was okay for Jeff to say, even like, this is, what do we say about this is a game that is a strong, it's a tough game, but it's also a game of personal growth and self-discovery, and even the show itself and Jeff himself did. Did he go on a little long? Maybe it got a little testimonial, but again, this is a show that holds a mirror up to society. And it is a show that sparks good social conversation, right, about social issues, because you can have a podcast like this and then you're talking about the social issues. The fans can discuss these types of things as they're seeing it played out on the island.
You know, Sarah mentioned, when a woman plays sneaky or does, things to stab people in the back, they're labeled as a bitch or whatever she said. But if a guy does it, they're like awesome. They're playing the game well. But I haven't watched in a long time, but I do remember the first season with Richard Hatch, who was very sneaky and slimy.
Going all the way back 40 seasons ago.
But, I mean, everybody hated him. So I don't necessarily know that that's true. Like,
did everybody? I don't know that everybody hated him.
Most people thought
that's why Jeff didn't watch for 40 years.
Yes. Right? Most people thought he was kind of just a snake kind of guy and called him out on it, even on the show.
She called him a rat.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't necessarily think that it's necessarily a men-woman issue. Maybe some people do look at it at that, and I'm sure she got some kind of feedback or flack, but that's not the way I see it. I see it as a player-by-player issue. I don't see it black, white, man, woman. I don't see it that way, and maybe that's me being
– On that, I agree, and whatever. I think that more than anything, that's probably more Sarah's world and Sarah's head and her – psyche.
Some reactions to when she won her last game.
It says more about her outlook on life itself. Like, she feels like, and again, she's a female cop.
A cop, right. I was about to say,
that in her real life.
I imagine she does.
She's ascribing that to when people call her a dirty player, she's going ahead and saying, oh, you're just saying that because I'm a female, because everything else is a whole male-female issue for me. Where, yes, a fan like us might look at it and say, no, I'm not calling you dirty. Because you're a girl, I'm calling you dirty because you're dirty. Because you backstabbed Tony in that season, and she never lived that down. You know? And so now she's like, okay, now I'm okay with it. I own it, and I don't have to feel bad about it. But I really think that more than anything, that was her guilt of betraying Tony. Awesome. Which is why she couldn't bring herself to do it this year.
Right.
Until she did Ben, when she got permission from Ben.
Yeah, she got permission from Ben. I don't think she would have done it without permission from Ben.
Now, that moment was also very touching. I got to tell you, I got emotional whenever he was pretty much laying himself on the line for her and saying, and that's, talk about personal growth for Ben. It's coming out and saying, you know, that he acknowledged that his season that he won, he just burned through winning challenges. He didn't
win in challenges and finding idols. Ben bombs. Yeah.
Ben bombs. There you go. Mm-hmm. And this time he came to that realization. I don't need to win this game. I'd rather come out of this with that social growth and the friendships. That's more valuable than the $2 million.
Some of it too also could have been that, you know, towards the end of the game, he seemed pretty exhausted. I mean, even at some of the tribal councils before, you know, he definitely seemed to, he mentioned that, you know, just the game just takes a toll and he's tired. And also at that point, he's probably looking around saying like, if I go to the end with Sarah and Tony, he couldn't win. Like, there was no way that he was going to win the game anyway. So at least he could have split votes,
like I said.
It wasn't enough. People didn't like him.
They dragged him along. I mean, yeah, he didn't have as many friends as you think he did.
Right. So if it's the threesome in the finals, there's no way. Like, he may not even get any votes. So he used this as A, I can't win anyway, and then B, by me allowing Sarah to do this, it gives Sarah something on her resume to kind of oust Ben.
Right. Which would have. I mean, at the end of the day, that could have been the difference between her getting more votes. But it was great of him to do that. He redeemed himself in my eyes because I liked him in his season, even the Ben bombs. I liked all that. I liked him at the beginning of this season, I think. And maybe it was like episode one. I was like, what the heck are you doing? Oh, no, I liked him in one. Episode two, he started to dip a little bit. But he totally redeemed himself. So that was pretty sacrificial, pretty awesome. And then there's Tony in the spy nest. Dude, Tony's faces in the spy nest when they were when she showed the thing, you saw his eyes, he's like, dude, the spy nest worked. And Sarah, with her cop skills, she saw some weird-looking shape in the
I wonder if she would have told her. I don't think she would have told her if she hadn't seen it.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely not.
No.
Sarah called her out on it. It was like, what's that? Nothing. You know,
like, why would she have it stuffed under there? Like, it had to have been a better place to put it.
I mean, maybe not. Like, you don't want to put it in your bag. Somebody could go through your bag.
Put it in your crotch. Or in your bra. I mean, I don't know.
But... Well, not if it's skin tight. You're going to see the outline of it or something.
Right.
And she was more muscle than anything else, so there wasn't much – you didn't have a lot of room, like, in the middle to hide it either.
No, like, I can hide it in my belly. She doesn't have that.
That's right. She didn't have a belly fold to tuck it under.
Now, I mean, I know the Spy Shack was fun and all, but, I mean, even without the Spy Shack, Sarah would have told him that she had it, but the Spy Shack was just so entertaining.
Would she though?
Oh yeah,
yeah. They were in it together till the end.
Okay,
till they couldn't go no more.
So all right, well then I still love the spy nest. I love that it worked out. I love him telling the jury about it too. You know, and everybody's laughing about him doing it. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He had the initial Spy Shack worked. His spy bunker in that last season did not work. He got voted out quick, and then back to the spy nest. You know,
spy nest worked. That's pretty awesome.
Such an entertaining fucking player, man.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm glad Tony. You know, if it wasn't gonna be Rob, like Tony's the new, like Rob is your old out. You know, and Tony's the new generation Rob. Mm. And the funny thing is, like Rob and Tony, it's the simplest, you know, names. It's the Northeastern. Are they both from Boston? Where's Tony from?
New York or New Jersey.
Maybe New Jersey. Great. So you got the Jersey and the Boston rivalry now. So do you bring Sandra and Tony back to compete?
Cops are us, baby.
No, Sandra.
Sandra.
King versus Queen.
I think Sandra's done. I mean, what else does she have to prove? You know?
So. Sandra loves this game.
Yeah, but I think she's done.
I wonder if you could have them like where they have their like have separate teams and they coach throughout the season.
You
their
mean like particular.
Well, not necessarily on. Was that on just on Extinction Island?
It wasn't coaching teams.
It wasn't Extinction Island. It was just a separate island where they.
I'm just saying
somebody to go to exile, and they when they get to exile, they meet these two coaches who coach them. I see what you're saying. Where Rob has a team, Sandra has a team, but they're not competing.
Tony. Right.
Always got Rob on the brain.
Amber.
I mean, you could either have it pre-assigned or, like, you know, when they come up, maybe sit there and let them, you know, as they come up. And then
or just let them, live on the, let them live on the thing with them. They're there at the camp. They're coaching them the whole time.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And they're there. They're just not – you're not voting them out because they can't. They're not eligible to compete. They don't even compete in the challenges. They're just there to
coach. They're just there to coach.
Right. Give them a headset and a clipboard and let them coach.
A visor.
Yeah. I mean, think about Tony coaching versus Sandra coaching.
This is a good place for a spy desk.
I don't know, though, because Tony coaching, like, you can't coach the whole tribe. He's got to coach, like, certain players.
Yeah, so, you got to coach who you think will win.
Yeah, you got to almost pick players.
Or you just sit there and just let anybody. If anybody wants to pick your brain, anybody can come do it.
Just sit there eating coconuts.
He's just sitting there on his throne. Come on, who wants to talk?
I'm the king.
Mm-hmm. His spy throne.
Oh, God.
The spy throne, I love it. So Tony the Tiger won.
So I was surprised that he was the first eliminated in the final challenge.
Who, what now?
With the ball, the
with the balls,
the final challenge with the balls running around.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he'd win, but I thought he'd last a little longer.
But I was surprised Natalie. Like, I mean, I'm glad she won. I did not want Michelle to win that challenge.
I really did want Michelle to win that challenge.
Why?
Just to fuck with you.
And at the end of the day, she would have still sent like Tony and Sarah were always going to go to the fire challenge if
one, so. And like I said, I really thought Sarah had it when she had that fire built up probably high, but she had used that straw and it burned out quick.
Times. I've seen that too many times. You get that. You cannot rely on the husk.
The initial burst.
It's
got to be sustainable.
The husk is going to burn out. That's right. Yep. Slow and steady. Always wins. I've seen that too many times.
But even despite that, this was probably the closest fire-making challenge that there was. You know, even with that, you know, she still was able to build her fire back up and – Tony.
Well, it was nice to see both of them have legitimate fires. Like, usually, yes, you see it where one person's got the fire, the other person still hadn't even lit something. You know,
I'm just trying to get some magnesium on here.
I've lost, run out of magnesium and husk. I don't have anything left.
Yeah. So whatever. All right, then you got the interview. How'd you feel about this interview session? I expected more of a. I expected a longer interview session from the jury, and I expected. More from
was,
it.
You think it was edited? Like they probably had more. And just,
oh yeah, 100%. They've got a ton of content there.
They usually. I mean, I've read that like the general tribal council is not even the final is like 2 hours long, mm-hmm. and they edit that down. So imagine how long this would be.
I mean, the one thing you could say is that with everybody on the jury being a winner and being an experienced and savvy player, there's not as many that are going to get bitter over. Things they all understand what the game is.
Jeremy was pretty bitter.
right.
And like, then he voted for Tony anyway. So
yeah, and but it did seem more just like a celebration and congratulation of the three there, and kind of like as the season as a whole. Which you know, in this day and age, I don't think you're going to get as many fireworks at these late tribal councils anymore.
Especially not from all winners either.
Right. Well, especially not that. But even in general, I think people kind of understand the nature of the game. And, you know, you don't allow your feelings. Your feelings don't get hurt. It's a fucking game.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But what I like is sometimes when they ask him, like, explain what went into that decision when you did that pivotal moment or something like that. And I don't know that we got a whole lot of that. We just got kind of like broad stroke resume. I did enjoy Wendell candy coating the question to Michelle, which is that you didn't deserve your first win. Why do you think you deserve this one? Because you pretty much played the same game. But instead, he asked her in a nice, creative, and positive way.
Well, you know, he didn't want to look a dick.
And I like that they had him ask that question. Softball from her ex-boyfriend. But
yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I'm okay with it. It just this whole season in general was just like it's not the greatest season ever, as Probst would say. But I think to me, when I watched it, like I was the most excited to watch and just happy and enjoyed. Like I just enjoyed watching every episode, even though it maybe wasn't necessarily the greatest gameplay or some of these, like the fire tokens had its ups and downs. I'm not a fan of Extinction Island, but I just enjoyed looking forward to every Wednesday night getting to watch.
Yeah.
Well, and again, it's familiarity. You know these players. It feels, you know what I mean? Like where you have a, if you have a cast of all new players, that's the, and if you get a few player, unlikable players, it makes it harder to look forward to. This was a season where you're looking forward to seeing Tyson and Rob and Tony and Lacina. See, I said her last name.
I see what you did.
And all these good players that you really, really enjoy to watch. But, or you could tune in to watch, you know, Larry Coe and Merle.
Larry Coe and Merle.
Right.
And Shemp. Don't forget Shemp.
And sometimes.
Yeah, that there was a yeah. Joke. I mean that definitely plays a part in it for sure, and that's kind of why you like, you know, the seasons where they have some returning players coming back, even though you know more than likely they're not gonna make it to the end because all these new players right. are gonna vote them out. You know, that was the nice twist of, well, everybody has won, so it's not like even in past seasons when a winner has come back, well, they just vote the winner out first because they won already. They don't need to win again.
But you've got to have seasons of all newbies because you've got to build and identify the next star. The stars emerge out of those.
We got to find some new all-stars for season 50.
I mean, I'm surprised. Well, Cochran won once, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I'm surprised they didn't get him.
Well, I mean, they asked him, and he didn't want to come back. You know, it was probably wise for him to hang it up because after the performance he had in his second go around, like, it was still surprising that he won. Like, I mean, what else do you have to prove? You know,
I think just love of the game. I mean, like Rob, I don't think Rob came back because he needed to win. I think Rob came back because he just loves Survivor, and that's his whole brand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, some people are just different, but I was reading that, you know, some people got asked, said no. Some people didn't even get asked at all. And who would have played, but...
Richard Hatch did not get asked.
No, definitely not.
Rudy did not get asked.
Oh, Rudy didn't win. Yeah. So, I mean, I think
it... And he's dead.
Oof. Ghost Island? I thought it was a good mix of players. You know, some strong personalities, and even some of these under-the-radar players that, you know, oh, yeah, they won Survivor, but maybe not as memorable, but they did show out pretty well. This season.
Yeah.
Somebody like Sophie. I was really impressed with the way she played until she got blindsided. I mean, even Michelle, as much as you dislike her, I mean, she played 79 days and never got voted out. I mean, that has to say something.
Yeah. It says you flew under, you were not a threat. You were not, nobody even respected you enough to even consider playing this game with you or voting you out. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you didn't even have an alliance. But I will say, in her one nice thing I will say about her is that what she understood why she wasn't going to win, and that was her mistake, right? Where I had a bunch of one-on-one relationships, but I never had a group. And she was 100% right. That was the difference between Tony, Ben, Sarah, Denise. Like, they all had groups.
They had their group that could, advance.
She tried to play a mercenary game. And that's it. Yeah. She can't play like that. So, okay, I'll give her credit. She played the game. Poorly.
Gonna play that bad if she got to the three.
Right?
Three.
She didn't play that bad. She made it.
It's always
a lot of other people would have much rather been sitting there instead of her, and they couldn't make it.
Yeah, just keep hiding behind the big fish.
But I you know, overall, I look back at the season and just it was just a joy to watch every week. Just incredibly enjoyable. You know, I was kind of happy every episode, even if it wasn't the best or whatever. It's just that little bit of familiarity, you know?
Yeah.
So do y'all think it won't be probably till next year till we get another season?
I mean, it sounds like they're – as of now, I was reading an article. Probst said they're still committed to having a season in the fall.
Yeah, you know? He said it last night, I thought, that we're still – that.
I didn't know if he said the fall. I thought he said it.
I thought he said fall.
I don't know.
So they're still trying now. You know, who knows when they can actually film anything.
Right.
Well, they apparently haven't even cast it.
No. I mean,
they're still taking 16 to 17 year olds, 18 year olds.
Not taking anybody.
You need to get Cameron to go.
Unless that's for the second season, you know, because they usually film two seasons back to back. So that could be for the second one they're going to film. Like maybe they have cast this one and just can't go out and film it yet.
Yeah, maybe so.
Huh. Maybe they'll just say, all right, everybody back on the island. Winners at war 2.
Right. You're not leaving.
Right.
Your families, they didn't leave either, so let's grab some of them and put them in the
Everybody game. Here, yep. We were all quarantined.
Yeah, they won't let us back into the country.
Right. Survivor, Corona edition.
Right.
All wearing masks. Can't see anybody's face.
So some concepts that I have liked that I wouldn't mind seeing them bring back, even some iteration of, was like the blood versus water, how they brought former players back and they played against their relatives. I like that. Mm-hmm. I do like this kids versus parents, or kids, you know, kids versus adults concept. But again, not kids. It's not Survivor kids. These are 16, 17, 18-year-olds. They're going to play this game very differently than an adult would. And I want to see that kind of dynamic of them on individual tribes and then merge them and see how they interact with each other.
I'm really wondering if like a 16, 17, 18-year-old could survive without like – a phone
or YouTube, out there. Wi-Fi. You would have to go to like Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, yeah, Alabama, Kentucky. You know, you have to get some country boys out there and country girls.
So yeah. what's y'all's final take on the whole fire token thing?
Bring it back, Mike. Bring it back. I think
you bring it back, but I think you need to tweak it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to exactly tweak it, but they need to tweak it.
I think they should be. They should make them
more important in the game. More valuable and important in the game rather than more important on Extinction Island.
Or the okay. Let me go. Counter argument's sake. Not that I agree or disagree. Is if you make them too valuable, then you take away the value of playing a good game. I mean, at the end of the day, Survivor should still always be about outwit, outplay, outlast. Not
part of the outwit part.
Outspend.
Well, no. I mean, have it to where you outwit people to get their fire tokens so you can buy an advantage later. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I could see you go out there hunting for powers that instead of finding a power, you find tokens, or you find a parchment that says you can buy this power for X amount of tokens. And if you don't have it, you can hold on to that parchment until you earn enough tokens by winning challenges or, you know,
or you can maybe sell it to somebody else too.
Or sell it to somebody. Yeah. Like, so yeah. Because right now Edge was really the bank, you know, the bank of Survivor. Let the island be the bank of Survivor. You go out there and you find stuff and you have to pay a tokens to what you get.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with you. You know, if you don't bring back Extinction Island, then, you know, like once the person gets voted out, they're voted out, then somebody else gets a token. But at least it can be used in – I would like to see it more used in the game itself.
Yeah. And the powers, I really love now that there are so many diverse powers out there that now it's, you know, it's like playing Monopoly. You brought that up, Scott. You pick like the community chest card or the chance card, and it's like, what power am I gonna get this time? 50-50?
Oh no, this is extortion, bro.
And I'm being extorted. You know, yeah, like you got all the different options for powers, which I love that. But then you still have classic idol, you know, our classic immunity. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the evolution of this game. I love, and I think that's part of why this game is still on 40 years or 40 seasons in. And I think that it was a good enough season that it bought them at least another year, if not two. And I don't know that Survivor is really in jeopardy of getting canceled. I haven't read anything that says that it is. I think it's doing well enough.
I know that the ratings did really well this year. Now some of that's obviously to the return, you know, the returning winners and the familiarity. But it's, I mean, it does fairly well, you know, considering TV ratings aren't what they used to be. But it's going to get to the point where, like, how much longer do you think Probst is going to want to keep doing this?
I think Probst does this as long as he's able to. Probst, I was saying that to somebody today, that you can see, especially this season, because it's the winter, he knows these people. He was so happy this year. He loves this game, and I think the production staff, the crew, they love their job. Survivor, the company, is probably a great culture. Like they all. I mean, think about it. You're working in Fiji or wherever, in the middle of an island, and you get to make cool challenges, and you get to come up with new ways to play a game. I mean, I think they love this game, he loves it. It comes across in the way he hosts, in the way he talks, in the live streams. I think Jeff Probst will do this as long as he's allowed to do it, which is forever because he owns the show. He's like, isn't he like the main executive producer now? It's his show.
Yeah, maybe at this point, yeah, he's been on it so long, yeah.
And he, Grant, I don't know how old is he? 50, you think?
Oh, I think he's probably at least, he's got to be in his 50s.
You could do that. He doesn't do anything but stand there and talk. He could do it till he's 65, 75. Could you see an old Jeff Probst, like Bob Barker?
He's 58.
I was about 58?
58, right?
I think he could do it till at least 65 to 68, 10 more years.
Okay.
And then, you know what you end up doing? You bring one of these all-star celebrity people to come in and
to be the new host.
Yep.
Rob.
You bring Rob to come in and host the show. Or
Tony.
Rob comes in, I can't quit you, Survivor.
I actually don't think they would bring Rob or Tony to host the show. I don't see either of them being a good host. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Which former contestant?
Who would be the best replacement?
Would make a great, yeah. And it's got Tyson.
I think Tyson could be pretty good. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a winner either.
No, but I think it's got to be a big name in Survivor.
Y'all naming all men. I don't understand. Why aren't you naming like Sandra?
Sandra wouldn't be a good host.
No, she wouldn't.
How do you know?
Because she walked away from the game.
Right? She quit.
She quit. I do think, like, honestly, Denise would make a good host if she would do something with her hair.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
No.
Why? She's hosted other shows.
Yeah, but I don't. I'm looking for somebody like a Jeff who there's the. I don't know. Jeff is. He's genuine. He believes in the game. He loves dealing with the people. I don't buy that from Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth would make it too much of a journalistic type host because that's her style. Obviously,
it'll probably end up being Seacrest. everything else.
CBS.
You might own CBS by then.
It'd be Jim Brown.
It'll be Denise. I say. You say, I say.
You got to be the special man. Oh, the job is spoken.
That would be great. Right.
Final thoughts.
Let me go first, Jason, because I know you're I did enjoy this season very much. As y'all know, I haven't watched it in a long time. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed getting to meet the players again that I remember and the new ones that I've never known. I am a fan again. I'll watch next season. Mm-hmm. And whatever season's on after that. So it hooked me. So I'm in. It was a good season.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. Like I said, I was happy to be sitting and watching this season of Survivor every week. But it's funny, Scott just mentioned how this hooked him. You know, watching this season, it reminds me of the very first season that I ever watched was season 8, the very first All-Star season.
Yep.
And I guess kind of like Scott, it's like I didn't really know who any of these people were. Like, I know who Richard Hatch was because I knew he had won. But all these other – like, I had no idea who Boston Rob is. And granted, you know, a lot of these people had only played once at that point, but I didn't really know who any of these people were. But
they were good players.
They were good.
You a good experience.
Right. They were good players. I enjoyed watching that season, and I've watched every season since that one. I actually have
you
the
remember
DVD.
Me and Blaine constantly telling you to watch Survivor. You need to watch Survivor, and you're like, I'm not watching that crap.
Look, I remember there was one year where we did a Survivor fantasy league, and my goal was to try to win it without watching a single episode. but I actually do have the DVD of that All-Star season somewhere tucked away. That's how much it hooked me, like I said. And I've
Rupert, man. Remember Rupert?
Yeah, Rupert was – yeah, it was a – yeah, it was very.
Sandra
very
won that. Was that the one Sandra won or Rob?
Amber.
Amber, that's right.
I mean, Rob should have won, but the jury was pissed.
Well, like Amber said last night, I never should have won that game.
Right.
And she's right. That was Rob's. And that's why Rob would be a two-timer way before Tony. If not for Amber.
Yeah.
Because he did win once later.
He did, yep.
Yep. All right. Well, that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app, which we're on all of them. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there's Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, winners at war, donkeys.
The tribe is spoken.